Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. First and foremost, giving all praise and honor to the Holy One of Israel, to the Creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein, by saying hallelujah. Praise the mighty Yah. Yah is righteous. Yah is holy. And let Yahweh be magnified. Once again, I thank and praise the mighty Yah for another day that he has allowed us to come before you to bring to you nothing but the truth. For Yah has delivered us into another day through his great and abundant mercies. My name is Moray Ishaya Yisrael of the House of Israel, located in Cincinnati, Ohio, 1907 Vine Street, bringing you nothing but the truth. And yes, it is true. All you're going to get is the truth, for Yah ordained me to tell you the truth, and this is what I will do. Who is this Yah that we speak of, that we call upon, that we talk about, that we glorify, and that we meditate on and glory in? And, well, this Yah is the creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein. Is Yah is the Elohim of our fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yisrael, whom you may know of as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yah is our lawgiver, our judge, our only Savior, and not just of Israel, but the world. And I praise Yah for all our brothers and sisters who see fit to listen to his message that he has continued to allow us to bring before you. So praise the mighty Yah for our beautiful brothers and sisters. This week we've been bringing forth to you some of the great wonders of Yah, and particularly seven of Yah's great wonders. And you may ask, why seven? Because these seven are very unique, peculiar, different than all Yah's wonders. And Yah has many. But these seven follow in order that complete the Creator's word. Just like the 7 days complete his word. Just like the 7 years complete his words. Just like the 7 everlasting covenants he made with the house of Israel complete his word. Just like the 7 requirements that Yah commanded Israel complete his word. So do Yah's 7 wonders. And we brought all these things to you, including Yah's 7 witnesses. We brought to you the first wonder of Yah, which is King David. According to the scriptures, he was a man. Yah sought a man after his own heart. And the man he sought, and the man he found, the man he looked for, the man he searched for, was King David. And Yah said he had a perfect heart towards him. And then we brought another one of Yah's great wonders before you. The second of Yah's wonders. And before I get to the second, what did King David represent? Well, King David represented Yah's word, the very light of Yah. Yah's oneness. Well, you might ask, how did he represent the oneness of Yah? Well, the Most High said that he would give us a king. But the king that he will give us is one king. He said he would just set up one king. He said he would give us a shepherd. And he said he will only set up one shepherd. He said he only called one that is mighty. He only anointed one. He only chose one out of the people. And this one that he had chosen, he will be the firstborn, higher than all the kings of the earth. And you may ask still, well, how do that make him Yah's first and one wonder? Well, because he represents Yah's oneness, being the only one that Yah will choose to set above his people. And what will he have dominion over? Well, he will have dominion over the one law, the one way, the one ordinance that Yah gave his people. And the Almighty said this oneness is for the homeborn or the stranger. So we're not like other people. We have laws for other people and then laws for Israel. We only have one manner of law, one ordinance, one way. And to make sure that we're going to keep his one way, he said he was going to give us one heart, one mind, and to make sure that we stay on track with this one heart and one mind, he's going to give us one king, one shepherd. And who is this one? King David. Now, is he more important than the second wonder that Yah will give? Not at all. For the scripture says to everything, there's a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. In other words, this is just about timing. You know the time. You give the time. You tell the time. Then you will know the purpose. So this is all about timing. It's not about which one is more important, which one is more essential, which one came first versus which one came second. No, not at all. As a matter of fact, David wasn't even the first king of Israel. He was the second king of Israel. So if it was about who was first, surely it wouldn't be David. But he is the first wonder. Wonder number two was the greatest prophet that Yahweh said he had, that he talked to face as a man speaking unto a friend. There's never been a prophet like Moses whom Yahweh knew face to face. And this is a great feet. Because even though King David is number one, there is no one that Yahweh chose above Moses that will bring his name. And this is what second represents. It represents the name of Yah. And this is what Moses did. As a matter of fact, because of Moses, the whole earth should know the name of Yah. If you don't know nothing else, you should know the name that Moses brought to our people as well as to the earth. And that is the Elohim of Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yisrael, or the Elohim of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, whom you know as the Elohim of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And yes, we don't call the Most High no God. The word God is just a backward word for dog. Yah ain't no dog. So surely he's no God. He's an Elohim. The word Elohim means powers. And this is what he is. Many powers. All powers. The highest power. Why you think he's called the Most High or the Almighty? Because he's the Elohim. And Moses not only was that great, but he was a man that Yahweh said he speak to him, not in dark speeches, not in visions or dreams, but this man he speak to face to face, and the similitude of Yah shall he behold. So this was a special type of man, and he was wonder number two. There is no one that has a greater name throughout the annals of history than Moses. But does that make him greater than number one? Or do that make him greater than the third wonder that we will bring to you tonight? Because there are seven wonders that one need to know. And as we brought to you before, what do this have to do with the Creator's word? What do this have to do with the Creator's laws, commandments, statutes, and judgments? Well, the scriptures say that we will be for signs and wonders. And all through the scriptures, it'll let you know, it lets the righteous know, talk ye of Yah's wondrous works. Here we have people who go around saying they're teaching the laws of the Most High. They go around saying they keep teaching the statutes and the judgments. And they will tell you that this is what we need to know. But I'm here to tell you that ain't all we need to know. We need to know everything about the Most High, including the great wonders that he will do on earth. We know the wonders and the great, so-called great things that the other nations have done, and the things that they call wonders, such as the Great Pyramid. I'm still standing to this day. Various statues that you had pirates go and steal them out the desert and take them into their museums. That's like me going to another country, go to Germany, and steal all the Mercedes Benz, bring them back to America, and then open up my own shop. Ishaya's Mercedes-Benz. Would they stand for that? But here, they went, and the word pirate is just a cute word for stealing, and they went and took these statues and raided these tombs. I'm sure you've seen the movie Raiders of the Lost Ark or Tomb Raiders or Raiders Tomb, whatever they call it. Yeah, they was raiding tombs, stealing. And then they were able to bring it back to some museums that they knew nobody would come and do nothing about it because they had the power to do so. And people pay a lot of money getting in these museums just to see some stolen goods. So here, this is their wonder. These pyramids and various things that they stole. But in truth, the pyramids were built by slaves. What about the Great Canyon? The Great Canyon. You go there and all you see is a big waterfall. What's so great about that? How about the great statues of ancient statues in Mexico and things that they say the Mayans built? And they talk about the world's great wonders. But I never hear them mention King David. I never hear one thing about Moses. And I never hear anything about the third wonder that we're about to speak of. Who this third wonder, let me let you know how great this wonder is. And this is why it's so important to even talk about Yah's wondrous works. If it wasn't for the third great wonder of Yah, all the various wonders that I'm speaking of to you, those that was before this wonder, and those we will talk about after this wonder, rest on this one wonder. This wonder was so great that it is the thing that propelled us to be who we are today. And without this wonder, you might not even know an Israelite, including Moses, including David, and including any Israelite, period. So you might ask yourself, who is and what is this great wonder? Let me show you once again how great wonders are in the book of Psalms 105. And I'm going to let you know who this third wonder is. Psalms 105. This is what it says in Psalms 105. And I'll start reading at the 26th verse. He sent Moshe his servant and Aaron whom he had chosen. They showed his signs among them and wonders in the land of Ham. And what is the land of Ham? Well, the land of Ham is what we know of as Africa. See, it wasn't called Africa then. Africa is the name of a European general, Africanus, who they named this continent after. But Yahweh never named it that. He called it the land of Ham. 28 verse. He sent darkness and made it dark. And they rebelled not against his word. He turned their waters into blood and slew their fish. Yeah, these are all the signs and wonders that Yah would do. Their land brought forth frogs in abundance in the chambers of their kings. He spake, and there came different sorts of flies, lice in all their coasts. He gave them hail for rain, flaming fire in their land. He smote their vines also and their fig trees, and broke the trees of their coasts. He spake, and the locust came, the caterpillars, and that without number. He did eat up all the herbs in their land and devoured the fruit of their ground. He smote also all the firstborn in their land, the chief of all their strength. He brought them forth also with silver and gold. There was not one feeble person among their tribes. Egypt was glad when they departed, for the fear of them fell upon them. He spread a cloud for a covering fire to give light in the night. The people asked, and he brought quail, and satisfied them with the bread of heaven. He opened the rock, and the waters gushed out. They ran in the dry places like a river. Now you're going to see why all this was done. 42nd verse. For he remembered his holy promise and Abraham his servant. In other words, there wouldn't be no Egypt without Abraham. There wouldn't be no David without Abraham. There wouldn't be nobody after them without Abraham. And Abraham is Yah's third wonder. Now you might ask, why is Abraham Yah's third wonder? Well, little do people know, if you understood what the third represents. The third represents something holy, something set apart, something unique and peculiar. Why you think Yahweh came down on Mount Sinai on the third day in the third month? Well, to separate his people from all the other people on the face of the earth. And why? Because this is when he made the earth, the sea, and all that is therein is. And this is the sign that Yahweh will use to separate, to sanctify, and to make holy. Why you think Moses was then hidden for 3 months? Because this was a sign to let the people know, this is my sanctified servant who I will separate. Why you think Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights? Because this was Yah's holy sign. First thing he told Abraham, and his name was Abram at the time, he told him, take you a 3-year-old bullock, a 3-year-old ram, a 3-year-old she-goat, and divide them in half. Why 3 years old? You won't read that in the scriptures ever again. Nowhere where Yahweh told anyone to bring him a 3-year-old anything. And the only reason why is because this was the sign to let you know that I sanctify you and I set you apart. Why you think when Abraham went to sacrifice his son Isaac, it was on the third day. Once again, it was a sign of holiness, sanctification. And I may add, the very first Sabbath that Yahweh gave the world in the book of Genesis, the first chapter, was 3 days after the very first sun, moon, and stars. For the sun, moon, and stars was made on the fourth day. And 3 days later was the Sabbath day, which means the very first Sabbath was on the very first, was the very, the Sabbath day was on the third day of the very first month, the very first year, the very first season that Yahweh gave us. And this is a biblical fact. Now, can you understand why this great man Abraham is Yahweh's third wonder? Out of all the people that were sanctified and separated, there was none like Abraham. Why do you think all the religions of the earth go back to him? Just show you something about this man and how great he was and why he's such a wonder. And not just a wonder, but Yah's third wonder. Just show you something about him. And you'll read this in the book of Genesis, the 14th chapter. And ask yourself, have you ever read the life of these men that we bring into you? And how Yahweh see these men? These men are wonders. The nations, their wonders are lakes and streams and mountains and buildings that they built, cars that they made, highways and bridges and walls. These are the great wonders of the nations. But Yahweh's great wonders is his sons that he made after his own image and after his own likeness. What greater wonder could you have than your own son that you designed and shaped and formed after you? As a matter of fact, they will ask people, what is your greatest achievement? And I notice many of the people that talk about vanity and vain things and things they did with their hand and work and stuff like that, they really didn't have no life, lives. But then you ask the average person, what is the greatest achievement? What is your greatest joy? What is your greatest prize? What is your greatest investment in life? And that would be easy for the average person. They would say, my children. My children is my greatest wonder. I just marveled at how they came out of the womb, formed in the womb, and I don't even know how that was done. In each stage, it became greater and greater and greater. And then after they were born, I couldn't believe what I seen come out. Of the woman that will bring forth this thing. It was just unbelievable. It's something once the eyes behold and see it, it's a miracle. What greater miracle could you have and you didn't do nothing to bring it forth. All you can do is just watch. And then this thing grew. Began to crawl, began to walk, began to make sounds, began to formulate words. And again, this was something that all you can do is marvel. And watch what it says in Genesis 14, the 12th verse. It says, and they took Lot. This was during the time of Abraham and Lot, Abram's brother, son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. And there came one that had escaped and told Abram the Hebrew, for he dwelt in the plain of Mamre, the Amorite, brother of Eshcol, brother of Abner. And these were confederate with Abram. And when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. It is. Abraham took his time. He spent his time not in vanity, in doing vanity. He didn't spend his time every day and every night trying to tune in to football games and basketball games and tune in every night to these various Netflix shows and videos and Michael Jackson and other people. No, he had 318 trained soldiers. Now, to be trained like they train soldiers, this is something you have to do every day. You don't got time for foolishness. And who you think trained them? He did. At this time, he didn't even have a son to train. But he had his own army. This is how blessed this man was. And I may add, 318 is the order of three. For those who want to know and is relevant to you. And watch what it says. And he divided himself against them, he and his servants by night, and smote them, and pursued them unto Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus. And he brought back all the goods, and also brought again his brother Lot, and his goods, and the women also, and the people. In other words, they went up against many kings. All he had was 300 trained servants and himself. And they took care of business. Now, do you see what type of thing we should be doing with our sons? What Abraham did with his servants. You train them. You train them. The scripture says, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he shall not depart thereof. And we don't train our own. We let other people teach them. And the various things they teach them is not even right. Matter of fact, it's not even good. As a matter of fact, it's the worst thing I've ever seen. The Almighty told us not to follow the ways of the heathens. And not only we follow their ways, we let heathens teach them and train them. But I digress. It says, and the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Kedorlaomer and of the kings that were with him. at the Valley of Shaveh, which is the King's Dale. This is what this man, this wonder, had wrought and done. And as I stated before, this man is very blessed, very blessed. And you might want to know how blessed this man is and what was his legacy on earth. Well, let me just share with you seven of his great legacies. And this is not in a particular order, but I'm going to just give you seven things that I identified that this man left his mark on the earth. As I said, it's not in no particular order. Number one, this is the first man I've seen in the scriptures where the word of Yah came unto him saying, and that's heavy. I don't know how everybody else got their message from Yah before him, but this is the first time the scriptures ever even recorded a man receiving the word of Yah, and it was Abraham. Number two, this is the first man that I've read where he prayed for somebody. Melchizedek was a priest. I'm sure he prayed. And I'm sure other people prayed. But this is the first man where the scriptures ever record somebody praying, where Yahweh himself told this man to pray for somebody else. And to me, who else would you want to pray for you? The first man I ever seen where the scripture said the word of Yah came unto him saying, that's who I would want to pray for me. Number three, this is the first man that I ever read in the scriptures that was called a prophet. I'm sure Noah was very special. There's no doubt Shem was. But this is the first man actually called a prophet in the scriptures. And since he was the first man ever called a prophet, this is the first man that was recorded to receive a vision from the Most High in a dream that Yahweh calls him to dream that day. I'm sure a lot of people had dreams before Abraham, but this is the first man even recorded to have one. This is the first man in the scriptures who paid tithes. And that's how you know this man was very blessed. Very blessed. Why you think we pay tithes today? The scriptures tell us to follow, look unto the rock from whence you are healed. And that's what we do. He paid them, we pay them. He fed the poor, we feed the poor. He give back to Yah, we get back to Yah. This is what we do because that's what he did. everything we do rests on the back and the loins of this man called Abraham. Why do you think he's Yah's third wonder? This is how great this man is and was. And this is the only man in the scriptures, or the first man in the scriptures, because like I said, it was passed down from him, where the scripture says this in the book of Genesis, the 12th chapter. So you can understand how blessed this man is and why he's Yah's third wonder. No wonder he's called the first man called a prophet. According to the scriptures, Yahweh will do nothing but what he first revealed unto his servants, the prophets. You'll have people going around talking about there is no prophets. But if there's no prophet, then there is no revelations. And then you got some people, silly people, talking about, well, everything been revealed. If everything being revealed, then when are we going home? If everything been revealed, then what tribe do you come from? If everything been revealed, then who is Yah's remnant? Oh, I can ask a million questions on people who talking about everything is revealed. That sounds like somebody ain't nothing been revealed to. But watch this in the book of Genesis, the 12th chapter. The very first verse. Now Yahweh has said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And what's the type of blessing he will become? And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. This is amazing. You might ask, you say, well, how are all the families of the earth blessed in him? Well, he was a prophet of Yah. He was the first person called a prophet. As a matter of fact, where we at today, he was the one that revealed it, that we will be in a land that is not ours, and we will be servants, and we will be afflicted for 400 years. Yes, that's from Abraham. That was the very first vision, the very first dream that the scriptures ever speak about. And who was the prophet that revealed it? Abraham. And the scripture says, thou, third commandment now, thou shalt not take the name of Yah thy Elohim in vain. For Yah will not hold him guiltless that take his name in vain. And why did Yahweh make that the third commandment? Because Yahweh knew that he was sending a messenger, a prophet unto his people to bless them if they would listen to his voice, but curse them if they did not. Why you think it says, I will bless them that bless thee and curse thee, them that curse thee? If you want to bless Abraham, then you do the things he did. You obey the voice that he obeyed, and you follow the righteousness that he followed. But if you want to be cursed, all you have to do is disobey and go against the very thing he was designed to do. And that's bless or curse all the families of the earth. He paid tithes, so what would you do? It's up to you. I know what I do. And I know what the scriptures say do. And Abraham did it. I may add, not only he was this blessed, but watch what it says in the book of Genesis 15. Because I said everything rests upon the back and the loins of this great wonder. Yah's third wonder. And why third? Because third. The third represents Yah's messenger on earth. The third represents something holy. Why do you think tithes was brought in the third year and given to the widow, the fatherless, the Levite, and the stranger? Because the third is holy. Why do you think the very first Sabbath came 3 days after the sun, moon, and stars? These are things you're going to have to study and look at real closely. Watch what this is. Genesis 15 and 1. After these things, the word of Yah came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abel. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Yah Elohim, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of Yah came unto him, saying, this shall not be thy heir, but he that shall come forth out of thy own bowels shall be thy heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And he believed in Yah, and he counted it to him for righteousness. And this is what Yah want us to do. He want us to believe in him. And the way you believe in Yah, you must believe in his word. That's it. Not a man, but his word. And once you begin to believe in his word, and Yahweh's word is not in the Quran. Yahweh's word is not in the New Testament. Yahweh's word is not in the Talmud. Yahweh's word is not in the Book of the Dead. Yahweh's word is not in none of these books. Not the Book of Enoch, not the Book of Jubilee, not the Apocrypha, none of them. Yahweh's word is what is in the book that you know of today as the Old Testament or the Holy Scriptures. That's where you will find Yahweh's word. And you might, well, how are you going to find Yahweh's word in just that book? Well, where do you think the law is? The five books of Moses is not in none of these books. The prophets are not in none of these books. No prophets in the book of the Apocrypha, in the New Testament, the Quran. They got prophets, but they're not prophets of Yah. This is the book. This is the word that you have to familiarize yourself with. But watch what this says. And he said, Yahweh, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And he said unto him, take me a heifer 3 years old, a she goat of 3 years old, a ram of 3 years old, a turtle dove and a young pigeon. Why 3 years old? I keep asking this question, why 3 years old? Isn't every word of Elohim a peer? And he is a shield unto them that put their trust in him? Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar? Yeah, I know why it's three. Three represents Yah's holiness. This is one of the signs that Yah would do to separate something unto himself. And he took unto him all these, divided them in a midst, and laid each piece one against another. But the birds divided he not. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram. And lo, an horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. Yeah, that's the first vision, the first prophecy, the first dream from the very first prophet by name. And I may add, this is not talking about the 430 years that our people sojourned in Egypt. Because our people walked into Egypt a free people. And they wasn't free for just 30 years. And then afflicted for 400. People who teach that just don't know the scriptures. In America, America celebrated their 400th anniversary in 2007. People say, man, we've been here longer than 400 years. Well, America just 400 years and a little bit over 400 years old. They literally celebrated their 400 year anniversary in 2007. So how can we be older than them? And we're their slaves. Yes, I said it right, slaves. Don't think because you're getting paychecks, you're not a slave no more. 14 verse. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge. And afterwards shall they come out with great sustenance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall come here again. For the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. And this is the part that I wanted you to see. Because as I stated before, all the other various wonders rest on the back and the loins of Abraham. And watch what this says. And it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. In the same day, Yahweh made a covenant with Abram, saying unto thy seed, have I given this land from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. the Kenites, and the Kenizzites, and the Cadmonites, and the Hittites, and the Perizzites, and the Raphaims, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Girgashites, and the Jebusites. In other words, this is Yahweh's promise. And we all recipients of this promise. This is the promise that we all hope and pray for. This is the promise that we all visualize. This is the promise that we go to people and tell them that you're an Israelite and that you have your own land. And that we're going home, not to heaven like these religions teach, not under the ground like these other religions teach, not being reincarnated and coming back as a goat or an elephant or an eagle. No. Our promise is to live in the land of milk and honey. Forever. That's our promise. That's what we're looking for. And it started with Abraham. Watch how Yahweh would take this covenant and begin to bring it about, to carry it on. Genesis 17. The very first verse. And when Abram was 90 years old in Nine, Yahweh appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am El Shaddai, Almighty Elohim. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and Elohim talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee, and I will make thee exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of thee. And kings shall come out of thee, and I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in the generations for an everlasting covenant to be an Elohim unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession. And I will be their Elohim. And Elohim said unto Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. And watch this covenant. This is my covenant which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised. And this is what we got to do. We got to make sure all our sons are circumcised. We have to make sure all our males are circumcised. And I know there's many men listening to me today not circumcised. And we want you to know you must be circumcised in order for you to be under the covenant of Abraham. And not being circumcised, how can you be under that covenant? And how can Yahweh be an Elohim unto thee when this is the sign, the token that he will be your Elohim and that he will give you the land of milk and honey? And the reason why it is described as the land of milk and honey, because there is no other land that's sweeter than it. Watch what this says. 11th verse. And ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant between me and you. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man child in your generations, he that is born in the house or bought with money of any stranger, which is not of thy seed. And to establish this thing, watch, Yahweh said twice, he that is born in our house and he that is bought with thy money must needs be circumcised. So how little just letting a stranger walk in here that's not of the seed of Israel, not asking whether he's circumcised or not, not asking whether he was bought with somebody money or not, and not asking him was he born in an Israelite house? Because this is the law. This is the covenant. And the uncircumcised man child, whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. He hath broken my covenant. And Elohim said unto Abraham, as for Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be, and I will bless her, and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a queen of nations. Because that's what her name actually means, queen, not mother. Kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And that's what he will be. He's 99 now, but a year later from now, he'll be 100 years old. And shall Sarah, that is 90 years old, bear? And Abraham said unto Elohim, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. And Elohim said, Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. And as for Ishmael, I've heard thee. Behold, I've blessed him, and will make him fruitful, and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget. And I will make him a great nation, but my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time in the next year. And he left off talking with him, and Elohim went up from Abraham. So we see how great this man was. How great of a wonder. And what is a wonder? A wonder is a miracle. A wonder is like a them songs they make and they become a one-hit wonder. In other words, they make one song and that song be so great that you remember these people for the rest of your life. And they call them one-hit wonders. Well, Abraham was a wonder. Yahweh's third wonder. And why? Because third represents something sanctified, holy. Why do you think he was the first man to pay tithes? Tithes was holy. The word tithe literally mean tenth. And 10th is the order of three. It was holy. The Almighty said on the Passover, take you out a lamb on the 10th day. And why the 10th day? Because all the 10th is three. It's the order of three. And that lamb was sacrificed to Yah because it was holy. Why do you think in the 7th month, on the 10th day of the month, Yahweh said, you shall have a day of atonement? Because it was the 10th. The 10th is the order of three. And that was the day that Yahweh would separate us from all our sins, all our transgressions, and all our iniquities. So I can understand why Abraham is the third wonder. I may add, once again, to show you how blessed this man was and is, look what happened in the book of Genesis, the 18th chapter, starting at the first verse. And Yahweh appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground. Why would he do bow to a bunch of three men? Why would he do that? Is that how we greeted people, bowing to them like we're the Japanese or the Chinese or some Korean? We just start bowing? No, this is not how Abraham bowed. And the reason why he bowed, you're going to see. Third verse. And said, my master, if now I found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Because you notice the first thing it said, and Yahweh appeared unto him in the plains of Moreh. See, he was bowing to the Most High himself, who showed up at his tent door. And watch what it says. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. And you have a bunch of people say, man, that wasn't the Most High. Man, the Most High, this universe too little for the Most High to be walking on, let alone walk up to somebody's tent door. That couldn't possibly be Yahweh. Well, the people who say that is people who don't know Yah. These are people who been indoctrinated, and they were told and taught Yahweh is just a spirit. Well, if Yahweh was just a spirit, then we will be just spirits. For Yahweh made us in his image and his likeness. No wonder he looked like a man when Abraham saw him. But what did he go visit Abraham to do? Fourth verse again. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourself under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread. Comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on. For therefore are ye come to your servant? And they said, so do as thou hast commanded. And Abraham hasted unto the tent unto Sarah and said, make ready quickly three measures of fine meal, net it, make cakes upon the earth. And Abraham ran unto the herd, fetched a calf tender and good, gave it unto a young man, and he hasted to dress it. And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed, set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree, And they did eat. Yes, they ate. Yes, the Most High ate with Abraham. And they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in a tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age. And it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. In other words, she wasn't even thinking about having no children, let alone having fun and pleasure. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure? My master being old, also both of us old. And Yahweh said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for Yahweh? And this is what we got to understand. Ain't nothing too hard for Yahweh. Nothing. That's why I don't understand why we just don't believe in Yahweh. Why we just don't believe in his words. At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not, for she was afraid. And he said, no, you laugh, but thou didst laugh. And I'm going to show you why this man was so great and important. So you can understand why he is Yah's third wonder. Something you just wonder at. Something you just marvel at. When you just read about this man's life and his relationship with the Most High. And what will come through this man? Only if this man was able to see his own life and what we're reading about him, he will marvel himself. 16 verse. And the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom. And Abram went with them to bring them on the way. And Yahweh said, shall I hide from Abraham the thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. How many nations of the earth? All the nations. So what room do that leave for Christ? That don't even leave room for no Christ. He can't be a king because David gonna be that. He can't be the shepherd because David is going to be that. He can't be the one prince because David is going to be that. He showed not the Almighty because he was born through a woman. And he showed us not the one that's going to bless all nations because Abraham got that position. So I guess he's out in the cold. He should have been in the Holy Scriptures and not in the New Testament. Watch what it says. 19 verse. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of Yah to do justice and judgment, and that Yahweh may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. And Yahweh said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come unto me. And if not, I will know. So we see here, Abraham was just a righteous man. I mean, this guy was righteous. So righteous that, as I stated before, we all stand on the backs of this man called Abraham. All of us.
watch what his son was said to his son in Genesis, the 26th chapter. First verse. And there was a famine in the land, beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of Philistines, unto Gerar. And Yahweh appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries. And I will perform the oath which I sworn to Abraham thy father. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries. And in thy seed shall all the nations that are earth be blessed. But why? Because that Abraham obeyed my voice. Abraham kept my charge. Abraham kept my commandments. Abraham kept my statutes. And Abraham kept my laws. This is why. This is the because. Because we all rest on the loins and the back of Abraham. No wonder he's the third wonder of Yah. No wonder all the religions of the earth trace back to Abraham. No wonder he's recorded and written in all the various religious books. In the book of Isaiah, show you something else about this great man, this great wonder, Yah's third wonder. In the book of Isaiah, the 51st chapter, the very first verse. Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness. Is this a commandment? A lot of people look at the prophets as commentary. And watch what this says. Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness. Ye that seek Yahweh. Look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence ye are dead. Where did we come from? Look unto Abraham, your father, and unto Sarah that bare you. For I called him alone, blessed him, and increased him. For Yahweh shall come for Zion. He will come for all her waste places, and he will make her wilderness like Eden and her desert like the garden of Yah. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. And there's a scripture in here where Yahweh called Abraham his friend. His friend. Because this man is, he was great. He was unbelievable. He is one that you marvel at. One that all you can do is wonder. My goodness. Just wonder at such a man that Yahweh will build and use as the foundation of a great people, of a holy people, of a sanctified, peculiar, and set apart people. And he is the foundation. He is the pillar in which we all stand on. Isn't this a wonder? Isn't this a
miracle?
Something that one should be marveling at? One more scripture. Watch what it says in the book of Isaiah 41. It says in the very first verse, "Keep silence before me, O islands, and let the people renew their strength." And this is what we're trying to do. Get your strength renewed. Let them come near. Let them speak. Let us come near together to judgment. Who raised up the righteous man from the east, called him to his foot, gave the nations before him, made him rule over kings. He gave them as the dust to the sword and as driven stubble to his boat. He pursued them and passed safely, even by the way that he had not gone with his feet, who have wrought and done it, calling the generations from the beginning. I, Yahweh, the first, with the last, I am he. The isle saw it and feared. The ends of the earth were afraid, drew near and came. They helped everyone his neighbor. And everyone said to his brother, be of good courage. And this is what I'm telling you now. Be of good courage. So the carpenter encouraged the goldsmith. And he that smoothed it with the hammer, him that smote the anvil, saying, it is ready for the soldering. And he fastened it with nails that it should not be moved. But thou, Israel, are my servant, Yaakov, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. This is what we got to know. This is what we got to believe. This is what we have to put our life mission into. For these are the wonders of Yah. We have four more to go. But the third wonder is Abraham, who back in loins we all rest on. So until tomorrow, Yahweh love you, and so do I. Shalom.
Trusting you, he always kept me whole. And left my enemies deep in their holes. Let none of